Hello and welcome to episode 24 of It's Funny Now, stories you're glad didn't happen to you. My name is Frank Trainer. I'm the creator and producer of the show where people tell stories that maybe were embarrassing, cringy, terrifying, shameful, disgusting, even sad sometimes when they happened. But with the help of time, we can say, it's funny now. Our show is recorded live at The Crow in Santa Monica, California. That's the new comedy club for Elevated Comedy in Los Angeles. It happens every second Tuesday of the month. And on this podcast, you will hear the best stories to come out of that stage. On today's episode, we have Margarita Franco with her story, She's Still Following Us.
She was 15, Margie. I was 19. We were goddamn babies. She was the most beautiful goddamn woman I ever saw in my life.
Margarita is an actress, writer, and storyteller. You can see her in the Hater movie on Hulu, and she's guest starred on several shows like Never Have I Ever, What If, 911 Lone Star, and she's a Three Ninja mom in the cult classic movies Three Ninjas. But her best role thus far has been playing a real-life badass single mom to her son, Ronan. And now, without further ado, here's Margarita with her story, She's Still Following Us.
All right, so I grew up in Riverside, California, and I have five brothers. I have three older. I know, I just want to hold on to this thing. Again, with those things. It's like, I have three older brothers, two younger brothers, and my mom and dad used to fight all the time, okay, all the time. And they were usually fighting about money or my mom's extracurricular activities, which was dating. Yeah, she didn't. I had a lot of uncles. I didn't have as many cousins, but I had a lot of uncles. And my mom was always accusing my dad of cheating, okay? I was always telling him that he was cheating. And my mom had even at 11 years of age, I knew that my mom was paranoid because she had concocted this crazy story that my dad had a girlfriend. And that girlfriend would follow him everywhere. It was like a never-ending game of Where's Waldo? My mom could spot her anywhere. And my mom swore that the girlfriend was like a human GPS because she could track my dad anywhere. And she would follow my dad everywhere. And then my mom was like, that's where she is. Look, there she is. That's her over there. My mother's from Mexico, by the way. And like, we would go on vacation for us, our broke-ass family, a vacation was like going up to Mount Baldy with homemade tents, and like, we would be at our little campsite, and there would be like a man and a woman in the next campsite with the Coleman tent, and it was really cool, and my mom was sure that that woman at that campsite was there for my dad. And she would give her the death stare, like, Don't think I don't see you, puta. I know you followed us here. And that poor lady was trying to make s'mores with her husband, like, wait. There are traumatized people out there because of my mother. Another time, we were stuck in traffic, and I was in the back seat, and my mom, she's just stuck there, right? And there's a car next to us, and there's a woman in the car. And she accidentally, this is a complete stranger, accidentally makes eye contact with my mother. And then my mother looks at me and says, you see that, Marchi? You see that, puta? That's the one who's going out with your father. That's her. Puta, I see you. Don't think I don't see you. I'm not stupid, okay? I'm not crazy. Oh, man. My mom. And my dad, he loved my mother to a fault. He just loved her. And when he would get a couple of beers in him, he would get all misty-eyed, all Telemundo. And he would recount this same story of how he met my mother at a dance social in Brownsville, Texas, when he was in the Air Force. She was 15, Margie. I was 19. We were goddamn babies. She was the most beautiful goddamn woman I ever saw in my life. She was real. And you know, my Air Force uniform was all iron because that's what they teach you in the Air Force, Margie. She was the most goddamn beautiful woman I ever saw. She was a Mexican beauty. And he always cried when he told this story. So my brothers and I, we're in, it's the 70s, right? My brother's room is painted in neon orange. I think ours was purple. There were like Jay Giles posters on the wall, Jimi Hendrix. I'm sure there was like that time's version of a nickel bag. No, a spliff or a blunt, right? That they called it a lid back then. Anyway, it's probably in there. So we're watching Gilligan's Island. My mom and dad are fighting. But now my mom has added that the girlfriend has kids with my dad. So she's yelling at him and saying, I know that goddamn woman who lives on Galena Street in that little yellow house, huh, with the chain link fence. Yeah, I know. You go over there. And my dad is like, what, Gina, what are you talking about? And my brother's just watching TV. Like, this is nothing. And I'm looking around like, what the hell's going on here? And so then my mom, she walks over to the door, and she's standing at the door frame, and we're watching TV, and I look up at her, and then she looks at us, very dramatic. She's very dramatic. And she goes, Marchie, Ricky, Mondo, Joe, Alex, and you too, pendejo. Listen to me. I'm leaving your father because he's goddamn cheating on me, and I'm not taking it no more, you hear me? And you can go live with that puta girlfriend in that house over there at the chain link fence on Galena Street. I don't give a shit. And I'm like, my brothers never take their eyes off of the skipper and Gilligan. And then I'm looking around like, wait, what's going on? Because I'm not as seasoned as my brothers, right? And I don't know what's happening. And my mother is now upset because we're not getting up in arms about this. Like, you know, yeah, Mom, yeah, you deserve better. What are you doing hanging out with this guy who lets you cheat and stay out all night? What kind of bullshit is that, Mom? Nobody says anything. And so my mom sees that I have like this deer in the headlights look, like, and she looks at me and she goes, you want to come with me, Marchie? Huh? You can have your own room. And you can put up all those pinchy Donny Osmond posters that you love all over the walls. I don't give a shit. And she walks away, and I'm like, oh, shit, my own room? Like, Donny Osmond was the Harry Styles of the 70s, okay? Like, I had the Jackson 5 and Donny Osmond posters all over. I was, like, so excited. I mean, first of all, you don't know what it was, the torture of sharing a room with brothers, right? Teenage boys. Like, my brothers would go into the bathroom, and they would get a towel, and they'd wet the tip of it, right? And then they'd, like, wring it like this, and then they'd flick it at me, and they'd chase me around. And I'm, you know, and that shit stung. And I wanted a girl's room, right? Not, like, a locker room. And then sometimes I'd try to sneak and hide a Donny Osmond poster or put it up on the wall, and I'd come home from school, and there'd be, like, a big penis drawn, like, right next to or hairy balls under Donnie's. It was just, and so when my mom said my own room, I was like, yeah, man, I'm in. So I jump up and I follow my mom, and I'm like, now we're buddies, and she's got her arm around me, and she's telling me how great it's gonna be, and I am just lapping this all up. And I look back at my brothers, and they are still watching Gilligan. They never take their eyes off the TV. And I start putting all my stuff in big plastic bags, and I'm dragging them to the front of the house. And then my oldest brother, gets in the way, and he's like, look at you, Marge, you ain't going anywhere, you dork. You're so stupid. And I'm like, shut up, fuckface. Because even though I was 11, I had five brothers. I'm like, get out of my way, I'm getting my own room. And so I sit on my bags, and I wait for hours and hours while my parents fight about the supposed girlfriend and the kids that my dad has with this woman. And then I take my clothes. I think we're leaving, right? Because my mom comes out of the room and she sees me. And she goes, yeah, and that woman, that goddamn puta, she almost rammed our car on the freeway. Marchie saw, didn't you, Marchie? And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I take my bags and I go down to the car and I sit in there and I wait. Because I think we're going to leave soon. And then I realize, like, this whole time, my mom has not packed anything. She doesn't have anything. She doesn't have her purse, nothing, right? And she's, like, going, laying in hard on my dad. Like, and my dad is just taking it. She's like, yeah, I know you sneak over there at night, okay? Don't lie, because I see you. And if you, I will go into your goddamn closet, and I will rip up every one of those suits right now. Like, my mom kept the men's warehouse in business all through the 70s. And so my dad is taking it and taking it. My mom is like, yeah. And then my dad like fucking snaps. He just snaps. He goes, you want to go to that house, Chyna? Is that what you want? Get in the car. So he's like walking down to the walkway and he jumps in the car. And then my mom's like, ooh. So she follows behind him. She gets in the car and she's looking at him. And he's just like laying on the gas and bending every block. And we come to, and I'm in the back seat. And we like skid to a halt. My dad jumps out of the car and he goes walking up this walkway of that little house on Galena Street with the chain link fence. And he knocks on the door. And I'm like in the car and my mom's looking. And she looks back at me and she goes, Mira, look at your daddy, so macho, huh? like suddenly she's turned on by the fact that he now has cojones or something. I don't know. And I say to my mom, so I'm getting my own room, right? We're moving? And she looks at me and she goes, Marchie, I don't know what you're talking about, moving. No, I don't know. Shut up. And now I'm like crushed because that whole Thelma Louise Bond thing that we had, it's over. And now I'm mad. And so I get out of the car and I slam the door and I walk up the walkway to where my dad is. And I'm just getting up there when the door opens. And there's this man staring at my dad and looking at me. And he says, may I help you? And I don't think my dad planned for this part of the story. Because my dad looks at him and goes, yeah, this is gonna sound crazy, I know, but my wife is in the car and we all look back and you can't even see her because by now she slid down the floorboard. And my dad goes, yeah, she's there. She thinks that I'm having an affair with the woman who lives in this house and I have tried to tell her that I am not, that I don't know anyone who lives in this house and I'm not doing anything with anybody in this house. And the man is just staring at my dad and then looking at me. And then my dad, who's an oversharer, says, listen, I love my wife. I would not cheat on my wife. We have 6 kids. I mean, why would I want more kids? I have all these kids. She's a kid. I mean, she terrorizes her. She thinks that I know a woman who lives here. And I told her, look, I'll drive you here and I'll show you that I don't know anybody who lives in this goddamn house, but she just she won't let it go. And finally, the man says, mister, you got to get out of that marriage. Is that your daughter? Come in, get in, get away from her. Get in, come inside. And now my dad is confused because a total stranger is trying to get my dad to leave my mom. And then he's really upset. And my dad's, it's okay. He's, no, it's not okay. You can't be treated like this. And he's looking over. And my mom is in the car making the face, right? And my dad finally assures him, it's okay. She exaggerates. We're going to be okay. And so finally they shake hands. And the man closes the door. And my dad turns around. And I'm just standing there. And he grabs my hand. And we start walking to the car. I remember this so well. And I can see that my dad is weary. Like, he's so tired of this. And I forget about everything. I forget about Donny Osmond poster being teabagged. I forget about the penis drawn in my own room. I forget about all of it. And we get in the car, and then it hits me. I know now why my brothers never did anything, because they had gone through it. They had done this 1,000 times. It was just my turn to be initiated into this club. And I sit in the back seat, and I'm looking at the back of my mom's head, and I'm thinking, man, my dad must love my mom to put up with all this shit all these years. And my mom is sitting there with her hands folded, And she doesn't say anything. My dad is driving, and he looks the rearview mirror and looks at my mom. And finally, we pull up. And my dad stops the car, and he looks at my mom, and he says, "Gina, you see, honey, I love you. I don't know anybody who lives in that house. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have other kids. I got six kids with you. Why? I don't know anybody in that house." My mom is really quiet. She looks straight ahead, and then she looks at my dad. And then she goes, "She moved, didn't she? She fucking moved, that bitch. I saw a U-Haul." And so it goes on. That's for you, Mom.
That's it. That's our episode. Margarita's mom is so funny. She really knows how to commit. She commits and she goes all the way. She moved. Always, always. Keep on going down that road of whatever it is that you believe. Like in this case, cheating when it's not happening. As always, you can watch the video of this story on our YouTube channel at It's Funny Now Storytelling. And you can find information about future shows and how to pitch your own story on our website, itsfunnynowstorytelling.com. And you can find a new episode every Monday on YouTube and all podcast streaming platforms. On the next episode, we have Jonathan Tipton Myers with his story, Seasons of Love.
And I'm still rubbing my eyes. I'm still waking up. And I'm looking at the signs and the exits. And I've never been here before. But it's really clear that I don't recognize any of these names on the highway exits. And then it hits me. Everything I do know is getting further and further and further away in the background. And then it becomes very clear to me that they're going to kill me.
Thanks for listening. And remember, tragedy plus time. It's funny now. See you next time.